This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. The general election is now less than 100 days away. As COVID-19 cases continue to climb in the U.S., voters are worried about exposure at the polls. More than 90,000 North Carolina voters have requested mail-in absentee ballots so far, and political analysts say they expect that number to keep going up. So how is the State Board of Elections planning for November, and what does the surge in absentee ballots mean for our state's voters? Joining me now is Jordan Wilkie. He's a Report for America core member at Carolina Public Press. Hey, Jordan, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me about what this surge of requests tells us about the role of mail-in absentee ballots on Election Day. It's going to look different this year.
It is going to look different. And what it basically means is that people are very concerned about their health and about participating in an election without exposing themselves to the novel coronavirus. And they are looking for other options. North Carolina is a state that provides three ways to vote. People can vote by mail. People can vote early during the one-stop voting process. That's 17 days of early voting before Election Day, or they can vote on Election Day. And there historically has been a balance between those three things where it's been increasing every election for the last several rounds. But, over half of voters, closer to 60% of voters, like to vote early during the one-stop process. Only 4 to 5% of voters have chosen to vote absentee by mail in the last couple major elections, and then the rest are Election Day. And we're just seeing those that balance shift pretty considerably toward absentee by mail voting in North Carolina, which is something the state has just not seen before.
So what will this higher percentage or potentially higher percentage of absentee mail-in ballots mean for processing of votes? And what are some of the kind of hurdles that it creates?
Well, it's just a lot of paper. As you mentioned, there are over 92,000 absentee by mail ballot requests that have gone in to various counties. So Chatham County, for example, already has more requests by about 800 requests than they did in all of 2016. And so what the counties are having to do is they're getting this paper that's being mailed in and they're having to review the request. And if it's approved, then they on September 4th is when counties will mail people's ballots out. And what will happen is they'll have to fold a ballot. They'll have to fold instructions to go with that ballot. And we'll have to put with a return envelope and stuff it and send it out. And election directors say that takes about 7 seconds per ballot to put all that together. You multiply that by, 2,972 times for Chatham County alone. And then you just start to get an idea of just the administrative, hands-on process that it's going to take to actually carry this out. That doesn't even begin to think about the USPS role in this for delivering all of that mail all around the state, especially at a time where they're struggling with sick workers due to COVID, with budget cuts that have, been affecting them for the last 10 years, a potential shortfall this summer. And you see pretty quickly that it becomes, a potential for some chaos.
So you mentioned September 4th. That's the date that the boards of elections will start sending out requested absentee ballots. But from now until then, what is being done to prepare for this surge and to prepare for all of this paper and the many potential challenges that it's going to create for workers and for the system?
Well, county boards that have the money, and keep in mind that county boards of elections put in their budget requests before COVID became a very pressing issue in this country or in this state. And so they're having to be, somewhat creative with how they're assigning the various budgetary concerns. Some federal funding made available by the state legislature really helps with that. The first thing they're doing is they're getting more people power. Counties are hiring more temporary staff, much earlier in the election process than they have in years past. We don't have our ballots yet because, for example, we don't know who the vice presidential candidate will be for either major political party. Technically, it hasn't been announced. And so the first thing that's going to need to happen is our state is going to need to create our ballots, print them, distribute them, create the ballot envelopes and the instructions, and give them to all the counties. And then the counties will need to put them together and prepare them for mailing. The real crunch comes for counties after ballots are being mailed out and are being received. So they're doing a really big push of processing ballots and requests at the same time, you know, accepting things in and pushing them back out. So, you know, I don't envy poll workers and temporary election officials, temporary election workers, you know, come early to mid-October. It's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even hearing the term mail-in ballots probably raises some yellow or orange flags for people who have heard about the role mail-in ballots have played in various elections. We heard about it a lot with Stacey Abrams' campaign for governor back in 2016. We have seen the president tweeting a lot about really attacking voting by mail. So I wonder, I mean, if you could kind of break down what we know about any connection between voter fraud and voting by mail, and the facts that people should really keep in mind when they think about whether or not they want to vote this way. 2018, I'm sorry, when Abrams ran for governor.
Right. Well, there are a couple things in there. One is the idea of fraud, and I'll put that aside for the second for something that's actually much more pressing. So the issue I had the luck of covering the 2018 midterm in Georgia when Stacey Abrams was running for governor against Brian Kemp. And part of Stacey Abrams' campaign strategy was to get more people to participate in elections by having them participate and vote by mail. Because it's been seen around the country that when you increase access and when you increase participation in vote by mail, voter participation in general goes up. And so she was targeting folks that would likely vote for her by getting them to vote by mail. What didn't seem to be prepared for is that when you scale up a vote by mail process, there are various problems that, you know, maybe a state or a county are not prepared for. Voters really need to keep in mind that it takes a while to receive a ballot and to send it back in, and that it needs to be received on time. Otherwise, it won't be counted. And so when you look around the country, there are really, really high rejection rates for vote by mail. And a really big part of that is that voters don't get their ballots back into boards of election on time. And so what we saw with the Abrams campaign is that there was a really significant number of people who likely were intending to vote for Stacey Abrams that had various problems with their ballot requests. They didn't fill out the form properly, their absentee by mail ballot, where perhaps folks forgot to sign the ballot, and simply by not having it returned to the County Board of Elections on time. So that's just an administrative hurdle that all voters are going to have to consider going into the fall, especially with a delayed vote by mail service. Now to step onto the other part of that, this issue of fraud, the president is not the best source for information on vote by mail or election administration. I strongly encourage folks to contact the State Board of Elections or their County Board of Elections for more information on vote by mail. The issue is not for voter fraud, which is a phrase that's associated with individual voters trying to cheat the system. The issue that we saw in North Carolina, that we saw with the North Carolina District 9 race in 2018 was election fraud, where parties or you know, various people tried to game a whole system. So what happened there was sort of a worst case scenario where there was large scale election fraud on a county level, and when it was that large, it was discovered, and a new election was run, and the candidate who participated in the election fraud in that instance did not run in the second race and was never elected. And the network of people who were participating in the election fraud were disbanded, and the state changed some laws to make the process of election fraud they were participating in not possible for this round of elections.
I only have about a minute left, so I just wanted to warn you of that, and maybe if you could close out with what voters can do to ensure that their votes get counted as they're looking toward Election Day.
Right, absolutely. So the number one thing voters can do is to request their ballot early and to return it as early as they are comfortable voting it. I would say that if voters are trying to return their absentee by mail ballot any later than, say, October 25th, that they should take it to the post office and make sure that it is stamped so that if it arrives at the Board of Elections after Election Day, that they'll know it was sent before Election Day, which is required, or to return it in person. A voter can return their absentee by mail ballot in person or have a close relative do that. And, you know, if you're the later you are, the better it may be for likelihood of your vote getting counted if you return it in person to your county board of elections office.
All right. So send it in early, and you can also track your own absentee ballot online, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That will be new starting in September.
Great. Jordan Wilkie is a Report for America Corps member at Carolina Public Press. He has more reporting on this, which you can find at our website, stateofthings.org. He will also be featured in an Elon University Covering Voting for Voters panel for voters and local journalists this September. Details about all of that on our website, stateofthings.org. Jordan, thank you so much.
Appreciate you having me on.